Milton gets into his body, grabs Mike's orb and shoves it into Mike's head. Mike's body jumps back to life. Mike, I feel like a ton of bricks, this body sucks, can I lay here and recuperate for a bit? Milton, that's the problem of being outside of your body for any length of time. The longer you're out of it, the more difficult it is to readjust to it. Mike, this is like the worst hangover I can remember, is there something I can take for it? Milton, believe it or not, the discomfort you are experiencing is the best and quickest way to readjust to the body. Also, your body needs to heal from your absence. You are most likely feeling all tingly and numb like your leg feels when it goes to sleep. Mike, I do feel that way, but why? My heart continued to pump blood to my body, and my body looked like it was sleeping peacefully before I re-entered it, like a car left idling. So why do I feel like a truck ran over me? Milton, your body was peaceful, Michael, but that's only good for the dead. You need to move around while you sleep. Rotate the body so that blood doesn't stagnate or get cut off in certain areas. Without your spirit inside the body is technically dead. No dreams or movements take place. You haven't been out of your body more than 20 minutes, therefore no lasting damage was done. Had you been away much longer, a mechanical masseuse would have went to work on your body, massaging it to stimulate blood circulation. Mike, if there is an android or mechanical masseuse in this place, why didn't it pick up my body and place it onto the bed? Why did you have to do it? Milton, I wanted to demonstrate to you that spirits have the ability to move solid objects. Although you were an orb of pure energy, you had the capacity to lift your body and affect other physical objects as well. Mike, why not ship my body back to Earth and let me fly there and then join up with it there? Milton, I could do that if you weren't carrying certain objects inside of your body. You have been off the nest long enough and must return to your body to keep things from spoiling. Mike, sit on the nest. That sounds so not right. Milton, the few minutes you were out of your body were not critical, but the objects need to be wired to your spirit mind to remain viable. Mike, what is it that I'm carrying inside of me, Milton? Milton, it's something that will chew its way out of your chest once we enter Earth's atmosphere, and spread rapidly like a super virus infecting the whole planet. Just kidding. Mike, how do I know you are kidding? You may have implanted all those memories about family into my head. How can I be sure of anything after seeing what you are capable of doing? You are at the very least a wizard, but you also have the power and knowledge of a god. Milton, we have to keep an element of doubt alive in you for this operation to remain viable. Getting you back to Earth is not a slam dunk. And if you are captured by the other side, it's best that you have fragmented knowledge of the operation. They don't extract information by interrogation, they scan every cell in your brain and body looking for patterns. From these biological and psychological fingerprints, they can determine where you have been, for instance other planets and places in this solar system, or even if you left the solar system. The food you have consumed, the air you breathe, and the gravitational pull on your body are all clues to your journey. My job is to try and remain one step ahead of them. Mike, if I'm captured, can't they simply remove the items inside of me during my abduction and then wipe my memory of it? Milton, you are past that stage. They can't simply drop in and abduct you and then turn you loose as if nothing ever happened. These items are wired into you and can only be extracted by us. Their main concern is stopping what you have from entering Earth. They probably will not kill you, but they will damage the items if they can, and then take you. Depends on who gets to you first, a human covert organization or aliens. Your body is designed to transport these things. Humans may not pick up on that fact, but other aliens can. So the items are not what is in danger, you are. Mike, why don't I get round the clock protection from your people, Milton? Milton, we have to keep our distance, otherwise we will give your location away. We are easier to detect than you are, and where there's smoke there is fire, you. Mike, when are we going back to Earth? Milton, soon. It is simpler to get out of Earth than to get in. We are taking a direct flight into Earth, like a cannon shot. As soon as everything lines up, we go. Mike, so I'm not returning to Earth the way I got here? Milton, no, you are traveling in my ship this time. Mike, that little thing has the power to travel long distance at more than the speed of light? Milton, that little thing manipulates gravity and magnetic waves which cause it to become very slippery inside the fabric of space. I will explain it in more detail to you someday. Now let's enter my ship. Milton levitates into the opening of the ship, which is docked to the dome, and points at Mike from inside the ship and levitates him into the ship. Mike, wow, where can I get a finger like that one? Milton, perhaps on your next assignment. Cut to, IMT. Inside of ship, continuous. Once Mike is inside, the door closes. Milton walks toward the center of the ship and an opening occurs in the corridor wall a split second before he walks into it. Mike follows him. Milton takes him to a room. The room has four compartments in it, like the ones in the large transport that Mike rode to Uranus. Milton, get into one of these compartments, Michael. Mike gets into a compartment and it closes and fills up with a foamy substance. The ship pulls away from the glass dome and vanishes into the darkness of space. Moments later it pierces Earth's atmosphere and the craft hovers next to Mike's car in the parking lot of the park. It's dark except for the dim light of two street lights. There are a few cars off away from where Mike's car is. Teenagers are making out inside them. Some are sitting on their cars and on the grass drinking and smoking. No one notices the ship hovering next to Mike's car. Mike jumps out of the ship, which is about 2 feet from the ground, and he gets into his car. His space watch is gone and his regular watch is on his wrist, displaying the time that he entered the ship that morning. Mike shakes his head in disbelief, starts the car, and the clock on the dash shows the current time, 10:25 p.m. The ship darts away. Mike pulls out of the parking lot and drives home. Cut to, IMT. Mike's house, night. Mike's wife Debbie is sitting in the living room reading a book when Mike walks through the door. Mike, hi honey, sorry I'm late. I was abducted by aliens this morning while walking in the park, and they just now let me go. In a playful tone, Debbie, oh, so that's where you were. Your office called and made up some cockamamie story that you were with some clients. I didn't believe them. Mike laughs. Anyway, I'm tired. Are you ready for bed? Debbie, yes, let's go. She puts down her book, turns off the reading lamp, and they head up the stairs to the bedroom. At the top of the stairs, Mike grabs her and gives her a passionate kiss. Debbie is surprised by his affection and melts into his arms. Debbie, I guess you are not all that tired? No answer. Mike picks her up in his arms and carries her into the bedroom. He puts her down next to the bed and removes her clothes. She unbuttons his shirt. They tumble into bed and fall in love all over again. The love is passionate and magical and continues for more than an hour, and then they both fall asleep embraced in each other's arms. Cut to, IMT. Kitchen. Morning. Mike is sitting at the table in a nook off the kitchen drinking coffee and reading the newspaper. He is only looking at the paper, but his mind is absorbed in what he experienced the day before. Debbie comes into the room still in her robe, pours herself a cup of coffee and sits down at the table. Debbie, what was that all about last night? Was that you or someone else? Mike, not sure. As a matter of fact, not sure about lots of things this morning. Debbie, what's that supposed to mean? Last night was wonderful. Now you're talking as if you are going through a life crisis. She reaches over to him and clasps his hand in hers. Debbie, I want you to tell me that it was you, that the fire is still alive in our relationship. Did something happen at the office? Did you lose an important account? You can tell me. Mike, no, nothing like that, and the fire is far from going out. However, last night was a bit of a surprise to me as well. Debbie, then what is it that is bothering you? Mike, you know I have mentioned being abducted in the past by extraterrestrials. Well, it happened yesterday. Debbie, sarcastically, I know you are an alien, honey. I have known it since I married you. She gets up from the table, goes to the refrigerator and pulls out a carton of eggs and a package of bacon. Debbie, feel like breakfast? Mike, yes please. Haven't had breakfast at home in some time. Sounds great. Do we have bread for toast? Without waiting for an answer, Mike gets up from the table and rummages through the cabinets as if he was unfamiliar with where things are in the kitchen. Debbie, don't bother looking, we are out of bread. We hardly ever use it, so I stopped buying it. I assume you are not going to the office this morning since you're still here? Mike, yes, I'm taking the day off, or maybe the whole week. I need to hash out something in my head. Debbie Good, maybe we can go out and do something together, but I have a strange pain in my abdomen that was bothering me all night, so I'm going to call my gynecologist and see if she can get me in this morning for a quick checkup. Mike, why didn't you tell me about the pain last night? We did get a little out there, perhaps you pulled a muscle? Debbie, that's why I didn't say anything, but the pain has increased, so it wouldn't hurt to see what she has to say. Mike, well, okay, let me know what she tells you and perhaps later on in the day we can go out and do something together. Mike finishes his breakfast, gets up from the table, kisses his wife on the forehead and goes downstairs to his study. Mike Milton, can you hear me? No answer. Mike would like to dismiss his experience as a dream, but he can't. He wasn't asleep. He went straight to the park yesterday morning after having breakfast at his favorite cafe. He was now in possession of information that would change the perception of the world, mainly religion and history. What to do with that information was now on his mind. Debbie shouting from the kitchen down to Mike, "Honey, I talked to my gynecologist and she said to come in his morning. She seemed concerned with what I told her, so I'm going now, talk to you when I get back." Mike runs up the stairs to catch her before she leaves. "Mike, do you want me to go with you, dear?" "Debbie, no, I will be fine." And blows a kiss to him. Mike is standing in the stairway. Mike returns to his den to continue pondering over his new reality. Cut to, INT. Mike's den. Later, Mike is sitting in his den alone when he hears the front door open. Debbie is back from her appointment. She walks down the steps to where Mike is and stands in the doorway. Mike looking up from his computer screen. "Did they find anything?" "Debbie, the gynecologist found some strange bumps in my uterus, but as she examined them further they detached and she was able to extract them with an instrument. The moment she removed them the pain in my abdomen went away. She showed them to me. They were dime-sized cysts. Everything else checked out fine." Mike gets up out of his chair and goes over to her and gives her a hug. "Mike, that's great, honey. That leaves the afternoon for us to do whatever you want." Cut to, INT. Gynecologist office, continuous gynecologist telepathically, "Milton, I have extracted the embryos from Debbie. I can insert one at 2 p.m. and the other at 3 p.m. Does it matter which woman gets which, or are they identical embryos this time?" "Milton, they are identical. The embryos that are replaced will be picked up when you tell me they are ready." "Gynecologist, they will be ready shortly after the second appointment." Fade out.